you bribe the right politicians in the right order at the right time, you can trade the nuclear warheads for medicine, and it's not even a crime. $1 on clinical trials, $600 on making you dead. Your leaders aren't evil.
Getting 195 countries to agree costs billions and takes forever. No, getting countries to implement things costs billions. Getting them to sign papers is surprisingly cheap. Humans love signing papers. It makes them feel important. What treaties actually cost? NGO campaign budgets are rarely disclosed publicly, but treaty campaigns run on pocket change. The Ottawa Treaty banning landmines took 14 months. One staff member, Jody Williams, grew a coalition to over 1,000 organizations across 60 countries. 122 states signed. She won the Nobel Prize piece. The Cluster Munitions Convention took about 2 years. Seven governments and a coalition of NGOs got 94 states to sign. The Arms Trade Treaty took a decade, but started with three supporting governments. The Control Arms Coalition published more than 50 reports until 130 countries signed. The Nuclear Ban Treaty also took a decade. The International Campaign to Abolish Nuclear Weapons, or ICAN, ran the entire operation with five staff in a Geneva office. 122 states voted yes. Another Nobel Prize. Pattern. One woman with a phone convinced 122 countries to ban landmines. Five people in a Geneva office won a Nobel Prize. Total to get a treaty signed? $15 to $50 million. Your species spends more than that on Super Bowl ads for beer. Inflation adjusted to $2024 dollars. Using BLS CPI data, the Ottawa Treaty in 1997 cost $15 to $25 million, which is $30 to $50 million in today's money. The Cluster Munitions Convention in 2008 cost $15 to $25 million, which is $23 to $38 million in today's money. The Arms Trade Treaty in 2013 cost $20 to $30 million, which is $27 to $41 million in today's money. In today's money, treaty campaigns cost roughly $25 to $50 million in 2024 USD. Banning landmines, roughly $40 million to get the signatures, and over $5 billion to actually dig them up. The paperwork is the cheap part. Cost for a 1% health treaty. This one touches military budgets. Suggest moving 1% of the explosion money, and politicians look at you like you've asked for their favorite child. So budget 3 to 4 times what landmines cost. Phase 1, pre-negotiations, coalition building, expert drafts, takes 18 to 24 months and costs $8 to $12 million, paid by philanthropy and champion governments. Phase 2, global campaign, platform, 3.5% consent, media, takes 3 to 5 years and costs $45 to $80 million, paid by philanthropy and crowdfunding. Phase 3, diplomatic process, conferences, delegate travel, takes 18 to 30 months and costs $15 to $25 million, paid by host governments and the UN Trust Fund. Phase 4, ratification drive, legal reviews, parliamentary aid, takes 2 to 4 years and costs $5 to $8 million paid by philanthropy. Phase 5, contingency, opposition management, is ongoing and costs $10 to $15 million for strategic communications and lobbying. Total, $83 to $140 million. The math. Signing the treaty, roughly $83 million. What the treaty unlocks? $27.2 billion a year. Forever. That's over a 300-to-1 return on paperwork. How to make governments sign things. Politicians move when they see A, voters demanding it, and B, political cover. Give them both. Prove public demand. Get 3.5% of the population, 280 million people, to say yes with verified identity. Every nonviolent campaign with 3.5% plus participation has succeeded. That's not activism, that's a mandate. Prove it's safe. Peer-reviewed modeling showing every nation gains more in health savings than it loses in military spending. Politicians need cover the way vampires need darkness. Timeline to governments can't ignore this. With approximately $60 million in seed funding, you can reach treaty-ready status in 2 to 3 years. Platform, 280 million verified supporters, 3.5% threshold. Modeling, country-by-country impact analysis. Coalition, 120-plus supportive non-governmental organizations, or NGOs, and 5 to 10 champion governments. Once these assets exist, formal negotiations become very hard to avoid. Not because politicians want them, because ignoring 280 million people is the kind of career decision that leads to spending more time with family. You aren't buying a treaty, you're buying the machinery that makes the treaty very hard to refuse. Political success probability economic analysis. This section documents the rationale for the 1% central estimate and a 25% optimistic scenario ceiling. The model assumes a 99% chance of failure. It's still a good bet. Even at 1% probability of success, this intervention's expected cost per disability-adjusted life years, or DALYs, $0.177, is still 503 times more cost-effective than malaria bed nets, $89 per DALY. Bed nets are the gold standard of global health interventions. Political success probability has a point estimate of 1% and a 95% confidence interval of 0.1% to 10%. Expected cost per DALY is $0.177, with a 95% confidence interval of $0.029 to $3.20. Cost-effectiveness versus bed nets is 503 times, with a 95% confidence interval of 30 to 3,000 times. Bed net cost per DALY is $89, with a 95% confidence interval of $78 to $100. Historical precedents, the depressing table. For the 0.7% official development assistance, or ODA, target, the goal was 0.7% of gross national income, or GNI, to foreign aid. Approximately 20% of countries actually did it over 50-plus years, Scandinavia and Germany. That's basically it. The Kyoto Protocol involved binding emissions targets. Approximately 55% initially complied, followed by a collapse between 1997 and 2012. The U.S. never ratified, Canada withdrew. Classic. The Paris Agreement involves non-binding pledges. Approximately 15 to 25% are on track from 2015 to the present. 195 countries signed, maybe 40 meant it. The NATO 2% GDP defense target called for 2% of GDP on defense. Approximately 72% of members met this in 2024. This has been since 2014. It was approximately 32% until an actual land war in Europe motivated compliance. It took tanks rolling across a border to get countries to spend more on killing. No equivalent motivator exists for spending on not killing. The EU Stability Pact targeted a 3% deficit and 60% debt. It has been routinely violated since 1997. France and Germany broke their own rule.
International financial commitments achieve less than 25% meaningful compliance. Your species signs things and then doesn't do them. It's like a New Year's resolution, but for geopolitics. Why a 1% treaty is harder than most precedents? Let's be honest about the obstacles. This is not a chapter written by someone trying to sell you something. It is, but at least it's honest about the hard parts. 1. Touches military budgets. Politicians would rather discuss their browser history than their defense budget. 2. Requires ongoing annual allocation, not a one-time signature like banning a weapon. It's a gym membership for peace. Monthly? Forever. 3. No immediate security threat, unlike NATO spending increases post-Ukraine. Hard to motivate governments without an active catastrophe, even though 150,000 deaths per day apparently doesn't qualify as one. 4. Novel mechanism. Military to health reallocation has never been done. Humans are suspicious of things they haven't tried before, which is odd for a species that also invented bungee jumping. 5. Coordination problem. Benefits require critical mass. Nobody wants to go first. Everybody wants to go second. Why a 1% treaty might beat the odds. 1. Self-funding. Creates health dividends that exceed the cost. You make money doing this. That's unusual for moral obligations. 2. Bipartisan appeal. Should we cure more diseases? Polls well across every political spectrum. Shocking, I know. 3. Referendum pathway. Can bypass government resistance through direct democracy. Politicians hate this one weird trick. 4. Visible beneficiaries. 150,000 deaths per day. Hard to argue with the body count. 5. Network effects. Each signing country makes the next more likely. Peer pressure, humanity's most reliable technology. Probability estimates. Economists would find the following defensible, and economists find very little defensible. For the pessimistic floor, the probability is 0.1%. This assumes everything goes wrong. Global crises, political gridlock, or an asteroid, possibly. For the conservative central scenario, the probability is 1%. This represents a 99% chance of failure, but is still 503 times better than Bednin's. For the optimistic ceiling, the probability is 25%. This assumes a major crisis opens a political window, or humans just decide to be smart for once. The model uses central estimate 1%. Expected value, even when you assume failure. At 1% probability of success, expected ROI is 848,000 to 1, still positive, even assuming near certain failure. Expected cost per disability adjusted life year, or DALYs, is $0.177, 503 times better than BedNets at $89 per DALY. Downside, capped at approximately $1 billion. You lose the cost of a nice yacht. Upside, unbounded. You cure most diseases. Even assuming a 99% chance of total failure, this beats the gold standard of global health interventions. The math doesn't care about your pessimism. Why the treaty won't stop at 1%.
Most international commitments stagnate after signing. You saw the depressing table. 0.7% official development assistance, or ODA, targets unmet for 50 plus years. Kyoto abandoned. Paris missed. Your track record with follow-through makes goldfish look disciplined. So why would a 1% health treaty be any different? Because this time, people get paid. The 80-10-10 funding structure allocates 10% of treaty funding, $2.72 billion a year at 1%, to incentive alignment bonds. These are securities that pay out when treaties expand, not just maintain. In other words, people get rich when more diseases get cured. Finally, a financial instrument that isn't morally bankrupt. The expansion mechanism. At a 1% treaty level, the annual IAB pool is $2.72 billion a year, which creates strong political pressure 10 times the size of the largest non-governmental organization, or NGO, budgets. At a 2% level, the annual pool is $5.44 billion a year, creating very strong political pressure at a nation-state level. At a 5% level, the pool reaches $13.6 billion a year, creating overwhelming political pressure akin to a major industry lobby. At a 10% level, the pool is $27.2 billion a year, which is probably irresistible and has no precedent. Why this differs from every other treaty. 0.7% ODA failed because nobody made money when countries complied. The NGOs pushing for compliance have small budgets, compete with each other, and run on guilt. Guilt has terrible fuel efficiency. The 1% health treaty creates its own expansion lobby. Bondholders profit when the treaty expands to 2%, then 5%, then 10%. These aren't activists you can ignore at a dinner party. They're investors with quarterly earnings calls about curing diseases. The ratchet effect. Once 1% passes, $2.72 billion a year flows to IAB holders pushing for 2%. When 2% passes, $5.44 billion a year pushes for 5%. When 5% passes, $13.6 billion a year pushes for 10%. The political pressure for expansion accelerates with each success. Most treaties are gym memberships purchased in January and abandoned by February. IABs are the opposite. The constituency for expansion grows with each success. Greed doesn't take holidays. Long-term feasibility. With IABs, the 10% allocation creates a perpetual political engine, a machine that runs on greed and outputs health. Embarrassing, but effective. Without IABs, this joins Kyoto in the museum of things humanity promised to do and then didn't do.
Thank you so much for taking the time to end war and disease. But if at any point you decide you're too busy, please share this with a friend who's got a free afternoon and have them end war and disease instead. And if you're too busy to even do that, the absolute least you could do is take 15 seconds to go to warondisease.org and tell us what fraction of humanity's resources should go to explosions versus clinical trials and vote on the 1% treaty. If the treaty passes, your vote will be personally to blame for saving 38.4 lives and preventing 6.9 million hours of suffering. Go to warondisease.org right now. Love you. Bye.